Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
Live. The first one was entertaining, to put it mildly. Mike Griffith joining us and created quite a firestorm over some Nick Saban comments. We'll get back to that in a minute with your phone calls. But there is some news to pass along. 1 month from now, we will hopefully be in Destin getting some news about the SEC. Well, we don't really need to wait for the news since Ross Dellinger, as usual, has already broken it, ending all the fun for the rest of us reporters. Ross joining us after covering the CFP. And we'll get to the CFP in a minute, Ross. Thanks for the time. Let's talk about what's going on with the SEC and what could finally be acknowledged officially in Destin in a month. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so this week, SEC athletic directors are meeting in person for a day or two, I believe. And I think the topic of discussion, the main topic of discussion, will be the future scheduling format, which has certainly been the top storyline in the league now for probably going on a year or more. This has obviously been a debate in an argument topic in the conference within administrators who do seem kind of split right now, you know, on 8 or 9 games as far as the new scheduling format is concerned. Maybe we'll get a little more clarity this week after they meet in person, but something tells me we probably won't get real clarity until Destin rolls around and the presidents can sit down with the ADs at their joint session.
Ross, where are the fault lines? Meaning, who's in favor of 9 versus who's in favor of 8? Is it bigger schools, smaller schools? How does it break down?
Yeah, well, I think for the most part, the folks with that are 4-8 games are probably budget-wise, you know, in the lower half of the league. I think those for 9, the majority are the higher budgets, right? The higher half. However, there are some exceptions in Nick Saban, obviously. And I was on your show, I think, a few weeks ago when Nick Saban came out publicly and kind of petitioned or his support, made vocal his support for 8 in criticizing the 3 permanent opponents that Alabama would have if it were 9, Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU. So some schools, you know, like on the high end of the conference at Alabama are actually have come out in support of 8. In some schools on the lower end, like maybe Missouri, for instance, I think are more in support of actually 9. So there are a few exceptions, but for the most part, Paul, it is split just like everything or most of the things in the SEC for years now. When it comes to some kind of legislation, the league is split in half. There's a delineation in the SEC more than any other conference, probably, as far as the revenue generating, the big revenue generators, right? The smaller revenue generators, the big historic powers, the smaller historic, the smaller programs, football programs that don't have the history. And this is another, right, another topic where they are separated for the most part on those revenue generating lines.
Ross, common sense would say that with the big money coming in from ESPN, there would be more money by playing 9. I could be wrong. I'm just an employee here. I'm not anybody that matters. Is that part of it? And how does it break down between 8 and 9 in terms of what the league will get and what it all means?
Well, I think there's 2 real big questions right now that SEC ADs will probably talk about at length at their meeting this week. And number one is what you mentioned there, how much additional revenue will ESPN give for a 9th conference game? And I think the other question is, will the SEC continue to have the requirement of playing one Power 5 non-conference game every year. That's a requirement now. And if they go to nine, will the SEC continue with that requirement? Those are kind of two big questions. I don't really know the answer to either one of them. I don't know that ADs know the answer to either one of those questions. And I think those questions are tied together, right? I think that ESPN's additional revenue and how much they would give is probably contingent on that requirement remaining, right? ESPN would want that requirement to remain. And maybe ESPN, Paul, would want some other things. If they're going to give additional revenue, maybe they'd want to play more Thursday night games with the SEC. Maybe they'd want more big-time matchups on week zero or the Labor Day weekend or something. You can imagine that if they're going to give more money, they probably want more than just an extra conference game.
You would think so, and I bet they'll get it if they want it. Ross, let's get to the CFP. You had a lot of reporting on that from the meetings in Dallas. What did you learn, and what is it going to look like?
Well, we kind of learned a lot of things we already knew that really was decided back in October and November at their meetings, and that is some of the dates, right, of the new expanded playoff. I think you'll have which you're going to go head to head with the NFL. You know, the NFL is right now is kind of the pebble in the shoe right now, you might say, of college football. The NFL continues to expand its season, obviously, and there's going to be an issue with the first round of the CFP in 24 and 25. They're going to go head to head. They're going to have to go head to head with the NFL. So the first round, you'll have four games. Obviously, they'll be at home sites, and you have one game on Friday, and you have three games going against NFL regular season games on that Saturday, because that's the first weekend the NFL plays on Saturdays. And so you'll have head-to-head competition there. The quarterfinals will be played three on New Year's Day, one probably on New Year's Eve or the day after. It depends on the calendar, maybe January 2nd. And then in the semis, you have another NFL issue, Paul. The semis will take place on NFL wild card weekend. And to avoid going up against NFL playoffs, the semis tentatively right now will be on weeknights. It'll be a Thursday night semifinal probably, and a Friday night semifinal, or two Thursday, two Friday. I don't think they're completely set on it yet. But it's interesting. The NFL has certainly impacted the 2024 and 2025 kind of CFP schedule.
Ross, where will the semifinals be? Not specifically, but will they be at a neutral site location or on campuses?
No, they will be at a bowl site. So
a bowl site, okay.
Only the first round are on campus at the better seed home site. The semifinals and the quarterfinals, which there are six games there, it'll be a rotation of six bowls.
Okay.
We'll have a rotation in host, and of course it's the New Year's Six. You know, it's the same ones that have been part of the rotation currently.
Ross, do you think when it goes to 26, or has this already been decided, will we see more on-site games? Because it seems like fans want that.
Yeah, I do think fans want it. The bowls are obviously a historic big part of college football.
We've heard that.
I think that a lot of commissioners understand how important they are and want to keep them relevant. So I don't foresee in the next iteration that happening. Maybe the iteration after, you know, in the 2030s or 2040s, maybe you could see it. But right now I'd expect the Bulls to hold on to those six games. It's not just because of the historic and the relationship with the Bulls, Paul. I think when you get deeper into December and even January, you can imagine playing some of these games at a college facility in the North, obviously, and how cold it would be, and their stadiums aren't winterized, their fields aren't warm like the NFL. So there could definitely be some issues with the cold weather, which if I'm one of those teams, right, in the upper Midwest, in the Pacific Northwest, I would want that, right? It's a great home field advantage, but there are issues that come with that. And so having games in, you know, warm weather climates at these bowls, I think they like that idea better.
Incredible stuff on the table for these next few weeks in the SEC and beyond that. Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. We continue here with more of your phone calls.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and we'll take your phone calls in just a moment at 855-242-7285. Let's go to Colorado, and Bobby is up next.
Paul, how are you, sir?
Bobby, how are you doing?
Good. You're not wearing the gray flannel, but I'm calling anyway.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll dig it out of mothballs for you.
It looks great on you. No, just some observations. A few weeks ago, you mentioned something that really impressed me, and you mentioned that Mrs. Feinbaum is an internist.
Yes.
And I found that to be very, very enlightening because I had worked with the VA as an RN, and internists are valued with their weight in gold, and a great internist is just a fantastic caregiver, and someone that's an intern is like your wife. It's like having a lefty quarterback. They'll always win a championship for you. So I just wanted to share that was very, I was really impressed with her internship, with, you know, her being an internist.
Yeah, we always joke about other fields, but she, for those who don't know medicine, and that would be most of us, the internist is at the front end where you go to that person, they have 3 additional years of training over and above the 4 years of medical school and the 4 years of undergraduate. And in those 3 years, as you know, Bobby, they, my wife was at Vanderbilt Hospital doing her residency.
Wow.
And you go through, you rotate through pediatrics, cardiology, oncology, every part of medicine. So you have a slight specialty in everything, but your primary
Correct.
Job is to diagnose the problem and treat it.
Correct. Internists will always make the right play call, and internists will always get the patient going in a good direction, you know, expeditiously with medicine.
And Bobby, I saw a friend this weekend who had a serious illness last year because he came back from, I think it was the tropics, and nobody really knew nobody could quite figure it out. And I don't want to, you can go to too much of a specialist sometimes where, you don't go to a cardiologist for a hangnail. You go there because you have a serious cardiological issue, and that's why the front end is the best way to go. And they will usually either treat it themselves, or if it takes severe, if it's acute in a specific field, they'll get you to that person quickly.
No, I agree. An internist will always make a first down for you.
Yeah.
And always have you going in the right direction.
Which brings us to the ultimate question here, Bobby. If she had so much book sense, why did she have so little common sense in marrying me?
I don't know, but rumor has it Mrs. Feinbaum married well.
Well, I don't know, but you know, 33 years later, we're still together, so I'm going to say it was a success.
God bless you. I was watching some Tennessee baseball, and I see that the stadium is named after Lindsey Nelson, who
yes.
I grew up with when he announced for the New York Mets. And I was wondering, along with Woody Page, if you had ever met or conversed with Lindsey Nelson. And also Hubert Mizell from the old St. Pete Times. I was wondering if you've ever had any conversations with them.
I will work my way back, starting with Hubert. I did know Hubert very well, and I know he died recently or a couple of years ago. But Hubert Mizell, was, as a young sports writer, was one of those guys that we all wanted to be. He was not only brilliant on the page, but just a classy guy off the page. And just so cherished my memories with him. I did interview Lindsey once. I did not know him very well. Obviously, there was quite a difference in age. Now, Woody Page, I have come to know.
God bless.
I tell Woody this that whenever we talk. When I was at school at UT, I think it was Bud Ford or maybe Haywood Harris. They were the two sports information people. They when I came along, they said that after Woody was a sports editor 10 years ahead of me. They said it took almost 10 years to repair the relationship between the school newspaper and the athletic department. And I came along and set it back another 20 or 30.
You're being self-defacing. No,
so
excellent.
Woody is remarkable. As a young guy growing up in my teens, I read Woody in Memphis. He covered the Memphis professional teams at the time, but he's one of the all-timers, as you know.
Yeah, you know, Woody had a wrote well for the Rocky Mountain, now the Denver Post, and there was another real good sports writer for the Rocky Mountain paper, Dick O'Connor Connor. Passed away.
Well, another friend of mine, and he's been a frequent guest on the show, Buddy Martin, who's now down in Gainesville. He was the sports editor, I think it was the Denver Post. And there was a time when, and Buddy was, you know, went to New York, and he did all the top cities. But there was a time when the Denver newspaper market was possibly the most competitive in the entire country.
News passed away, the Denver Post did very good articles on the competing paper going out of business. They were very dignified with the Rocky Mountain passing away, so to speak. Another item, I don't mean to gobble the time so much. I'm always impressed with your respect that you have for the younger callers. When the youngsters call in, you treat them very respectfully and you respect their knowledge and input, and I just wanted to share that as well. And
once again,
I thank you for taking my call. We finally got spring out here.
Well, Bobby, I wish you'd send it to us. It will not get warm where I am. Hey, thank you, Bobby. Great to hear from you, and always a pleasure to converse. So let's continue with more phone calls. And Dan is in Memphis. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Paul. I appreciate your show very much. You give as much attention to the first caller as you do the last call of the day, and I mean it.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to talk a little coaching and just the SEC coaches. And you know, the kind of the secret sauce in the formula, you know, Heupel, nobody expected Heupel to be such a brilliant coach. And I'm curious as to what makes him that good. I mean, I think obviously he was the coach behind the coach at Central Florida. He was, it would be my guess. And then you've got other, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Dan, I tell you what I think it is, and this is anecdotal coming from former players and current players, is that he is a regular guy, and that's hard for a coach to be. Who did we talk to? Ferkel. I'm trying to remember who the player was. Ferking, yeah. Told me, I don't know if this was off the air or on the air, probably both, that he's so relatable. Now, I mean, he's 20 years older than the players. That is not unusual to have a young coach, but he just is low key. He doesn't practice hard. He's not your hard-boiled coach from yesteryear where the Bryant mold, where, you know, they would work you to death. And the players have adapted to him, and they just like playing for him. So I think that has helped him immensely. Other than that, I think he has a genius mind when it comes to offensive play calling.
Right, I agree. The other thing I was just going to say is, so often, you know, you try to repeat the, you know, hiring an assistant like, you know, Georgia's head coach from Alabama. You try to repeat that, and maybe that's what Florida did, and they got what they got, and sometimes it works. Heupel maybe spent longer; he had a longer runway, but now you compare the Florida coach to the LSU coach, and it's almost like you've got an adult and a kid, and then you wonder if, you know, I've heard this on your program that maybe Spurrier and some of that group got involved in maybe a quick hire at Florida, and maybe it wasn't thought through quite enough. And I'm not judging the Florida coach. I think, you know, it's too early, but perhaps.
Danny, I don't know. To me, if you were looking at a coach, looking for a coach 2.5 years ago, or a year and a half ago, whenever it was, Napier would have been on your list. Think about when things really quiet down. I want to do this show one day to go back 8, 9, 10 years. And being, I was in Memphis a couple of weeks ago, where you are, I was speaking to a club there, and we were talking about the University of Memphis, and Justin Fuente was the coach there. What, nine, right. 10 years ago? He was the hottest coach in the country.
Everybody what he did.
Yeah, he went. They went to Virginia Tech, flamed out. Napier, one of the hot coaches. I think one of the great hires I ever saw was Scott Frost at Nebraska, and it was a total bust. So you don't know, and it's easy to criticize now, and I'm sure I'll be doing it down the road. But Napier, there were a lot of LSU fans who were angry that Scott Woodward did not hire Napier over Brian Kelly.
Okay.
By the way, Dan, having said all that, I think it's been a bust so far, okay? I don't mean to sugarcoat it.
No, but, and I'm not saying that Napier is not going to be a great coach, but it just, you know, comparing him to the LSU coach, it seems like such a contrast right now. But the LSU coach is 60 years old, and so, real quick, one day I'll call you back and talk to you about the days of Hugh Freeze here in Memphis and some of the personalities. Sean Tuohy, others that I got the front row seat on back during.
Dan, I don't know if we can have that conversation on the air.
Jimmy Sexton and all those guys, they were all around back at that time.
It's funny, when I was there recently, it was 3 weeks ago today, I where did he coach at? Briarcrest? What was the name of that school?
Briarcrest. I coach girls basketball and boys football.
Right. I mean, one of the guys I was with had a child at that school. So there were some great stories about Hugh Freeze at Briarcrest.
I'll say the last thing. He's a lightning rod. People either loved him and adored him, or they didn't trust him. And that was
it
was either or.
Let's have this conversation off the air first, and then we'll decide whether we can talk about it on the air.
Yeah, we'll I personally like him. I did like him. Thank you.
No, I do too. I've always liked you, and I think Auburn hired a gem in him because being in Alabama over the weekend, he's completely changed the culture without having coached a game. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Let's continue with AC in Canada.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, Mr. Feinbaum, I hope you had a nice weekend. On Friday, you have so many back kissers. They called in. I can give you some. Dominic, he said, Mr. Feinbaum doesn't pick my call. Where? What a crap. No one cares, okay, little pal? No way. Nobody cares. Just go to your Tuscaloosa radio show. We don't care about them anyway. And Jim called in. I, man, love that.
Hey, by the way, help me with it. Somebody told me Jim said that – you're here, Randy? Jim said that Peter was the best fill-in host ever. Is that correct? Isn't it true that last August Jim called in on this show and told Alyssa Lang she was the greatest fill-in in the history of the Feinbaum show? So 9 months later, Jim has dumped Alyssa Lang for Peter Burns.
Everybody.
Oh, well, by the way, and then there was Roman Harper 3 weeks ago, who Jim said was the best fill-in host of all time, and now he's overboard. So Jim has dumped Roman and Alyssa, but primarily Alyssa, because, I mean, he was emotional about Alyssa. And he has cast his lot with Nick, Bama Nick. I mean, now, Jim, when you get in, I'll clean this up, but when you align yourself with Bama Nick, you are 20,000 leagues under the sea. That's where the pond scum is, Jim.
But let's face it, Mr. Feinbaum. Jim is going to say, let me tell you, Jim is going to say this person is best, that person is best, as long as you are going along with Jim from Tuscaloosa. He dumped Squirrel just like I warned Squirrel last year.
Oh, yeah.
By the time
Squirrel was
year,
his guy.
Someone.
Did we step on AC's call?
No, thank you.
I can hear you.
What did they suddenly start selling maple syrup on the cheap and he had to leave? I don't know. Edward is in Selma, Alabama. Hello, Edward.
What's going on, Paul?
Edward, thank you. Great to hear from you.
Well, man, I ain't talked to you in a minute, Paul. They changed my schedule up, man. I don't get time to call through the daytime.
Okay.
How you been, man?
Give me the name of your boss. I'm calling him first thing tomorrow morning and telling him to put you back on a normal schedule.
That's right, man. I be telling people, man, I'm good for business, Paul. You know that, man.
No middle-level manager should get in the way of a great caller to the Feinbaum show.
That's right, Paul. That's right, man. I be telling my guys on Auburn Live on 3, man, hey, we got the best community in Auburn, man. We if you want to talk Auburn football, that's the best place to do it, man, with Cole Pitts and Jeffrey Lee and all them guys, man. But, Paul, you know my feelings, man, with Auburn. You know how much I love them. And you know my feeling was with this coaching search from the beginning.
I do remember that very well.
But I told you, Paul, once I'm on board, I'm on board. Hugh Freeze was the right pick. I can honestly say this is the first time I feel like, Paul, we got it right. Everybody pulling in the right direction, Paul.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think Auburn is in great hands at the moment.
And if we can get this quarterback situation sorted out, we got a chance this year. You break down our schedule. You know, it's only a few games that really fear me, I would say. I'm skeptical about Georgia
coming
in.
The challenging games are at California. I think that's a win. At A&M, Georgia, at LSU, Ole Miss at home, State, at Vanderbilt, at Arkansas, Alabama. I think that sets up for a pretty good record.
It sets up for a decent record. I ain't got the high expectation for him to come in and take me to the SEC championship the first year. You know, we just need a respectable. I know one team, the team up in Northeast, up in Tuscaloosa County. I know it's a team up there that really don't fear me. I can say that, you know, because you've been saying it, and people ain't hearing what you said. You said it 2 years ago. The dynasty is over with. They about to just become a regular, normal team. And when they come into Jordan House, I took them to four overtime with no coaching Harson coaching my team, man, and T.J. Finley at quarterback. Hey, Alabama come into Jordan House this year. It's payback. It's payback.
You know,
time
Edward, you said that, and Alabama, you know, turned that around. They beat Georgia, and then they lost to Georgia. But that was close to one of the worst losses of Saban's era, dynasty. And, you know, the one a couple of years before that may have been equal to that. But that was such an embarrassment. And Alabama did not win that game. Auburn gave that game away.
They gave it away. Take this, but don't go out of bounds.
That game's over.
Brian Harsin's still coaching.
Brian Harsin, I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know what high school or junior college he coaches at, but that game will haunt him forever.
Yeah, because he still be coaching at Auburn. No way in the world they would fire him after just one year.
You don't beat Alabama your first year and get run the next year.
Tell old guy Paul, the black hat guy, man. Tell him there's a new sheriff in town, man. I'm coming to confiscate hats, man.
I will do that. Hey, Edward, great to hear from you. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul, you were talking about Jim had dumped Alyssa Lane for Peter Burns.
Correct.
You kidding me? Everybody knows Jim is an idiot to start with, though.
Well, I don't know that. I just know what he's. We're doing is recounting Jim's statements on two other occasions, three
yes,
occasions.
I listen to y'all every day, and I look forward to hearing Jim because he's gonna say something crazy. No doubt about that.
Well, that's why Jim is so memorable. Hey, thank you very much. I think Randy, we have AC back.
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Canada doesn't like when I'm trashing everybody. Sorry, David Thatcher just connected me. Here's the thing. Let me tell you something, Mr. Feinbaum. Jim is going to dump I-Man by the time next year, or Doggy the Augie, or whoever. So it seems like Legend is not committing the crime. Legend is a victim. If Legend wants, I can give him all the personal security, even though he doesn't need to. Lawyers, we're gonna find a lawsuit against Jim from Tuscaloosa. Get him out of here. We're tired of you, Jim. Matter of fact, we don't even care about you. Go call another station. And by the way, before I hang up, Dominic is gonna say Jim is this and that. Even if Jim is in the bathroom, he's gonna say Jim stay in the bathroom.
Sometimes you get reconnected and it works out. And then we have that. We will take a break. More to come. 2 hours and change remaining.
Listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we're back. Peggy is in on the next.
Ooh,
the
hi next, there.
Hey, Peggy.
Hi there, Paul. Yeah, it's still cold down here in Tennessee. How about you up there?
It's cold.
Yes, it's just a little abnormal. A little bit of a fire going. I just want to tell you something briefly. Oh, okay. I need to shout out to Lester from Alabama. Messel shows. I met him Friday at the exit here, Ruby Tuesdays, and we just got to talking. I had a Tennessee shirt on, and he gave me a compliment about my hat. And he said, like everything you get on but that shirt. And I thought, whoa, I mean, you know.
No, hold on a second, Peggy. What was he suggesting by telling you he didn't like your shirt?
UT.
Oh, okay.
And I had a UT shirt on. Oh. And so, you know, he told me where he is from, Muscle Shows, and we got talking music, and I went, oh, my gosh, you know. He's telling me they have the recording studio, you know, there. I went, oh, my God, Allman Brothers, Leonard, and all that. And I said, didn't the Stones record an album there, too? And he said, well, you know, he's probably the age of my son, so I don't know if that, well, he's probably around 50, a little bit older than my son, oldest son. Anyway. So we really just had this nice conversation, and I remember the day when the words, you know, were just having, talking to somebody from Alabama was just weird. And, you know, then I said, you're from Alabama, I'm sure you grew up and or you have listened to Paul Feinbaum, and he's just like, oh, yeah, that's my guy, you know, la, la, la. So we talked about that, and I talked about how I learned about the Iron Bowl, and got. I said, but you... You know, I feel like in 3 months, I have, just because I wanted to not be more than just say I'm from Tennessee because of you, Paul, I went and researched and found things out. I found out about the beginnings of, you know, of UT and about Nathan Daugherty and Strang Hickland, I believe, was his name, and our... You know, the Indian that was our quarterback, I think he might even win a Heisman. I knew none of that stuff. So because of you, I educated myself, and I've developed this love for the SEC. And I had the best time sitting and talking with Lester from Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And so I told him I'd give him a shout-out. And I just want to thank you so much, Paul. It's just so enjoyable.
Peggy, we are more than happy to assist in friendships, and we're glad we could help. From Peggy to Emily, up next. Hello, Emily.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hey, what do you think about Joe Milton?
Emily, I think Joe Milton has a chance to have a very big season. What do you think?
Well, I went to the Orange and White game, and he looked good.
Well, there's a reason for that. I think he's got a lot of talent. It hasn't always shown it, but I think it's now developed, and I think Tennessee's in for a big year. Chris is in New York. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
You want to talk Jets football or what?
Not really, no.
Oh, well, you know what? Let's talk some Tennessee or Texas. I think Arch Manning sucks.
Why do you say that, Chris?
I think he's a bum. He's not going to beat him.
The guys from New York thought he was calling in like one of these fan radio in New York. Everybody's a bum. Aaron Rodgers, he's a bum. Arch Manning, he's a bum. Call them. We don't need that. Call Mad Dog. He's on for 4 hours a day. Just call him Doggy. Do we need that on the show?
No.
Do we need young people being called bums before they even play it down? That's what Griff is for. We don't need callers doing that. Paul is up next in Georgia. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to call and say love your show.
Thank you.
And also a big SEC fan from Georgia's first national championship. And we just love the SEC. And we love to pull against them, and we love to pull for them. And we love the job that you're doing with the radio show.
Well, that means a great deal, Paul. Thank you for sharing that with us, and you take care of yourself. We have 2 hours to go. We had Mike Griffith on at the top. Once again, pouring gasoline on the very light brush fire, better known as Kirby Smart over Nick Saban. We've talked about the CFP with Dellinger. Matt Hayes, not happy that Nick Saban had to bring in a Notre Dame backup to compete for the starting job. But we have 2 more hours to go. We hope you'll give us a ring at 855-242-7285. A couple more guests will join us. And we are right back. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.